I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, early morning drama at the Department of Justice in Seattle. We have the scoop. Plus, new polling shows Washington State's income tax is deeply unpopular among Democrats and Republicans, and so is the governor. Plus, a Washington State congressional candidate hides her support for the LGBTQ plus community because she was worried about offending Muslims. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. Some drama, early morning drama at the Department of Justice in Seattle this morning. And this drama has really been building because, frankly, since President Trump was elected to his second term, in a lot of blue states where he has the right to be able to appoint the individual U.S. attorneys or choose them. Certainly, they need Senate confirmation. But, you know, in history, this has been a fine process. It's like, you're the president this time. You might not be of my party, but like the next time we have a president of our party, we don't want them to block our choices for U.S. attorney. But everything's all just a big you-know-what show lately. And if President Trump does something in blue states, they're going to fight against it like hell. So a little bit of background to this drama. So President Trump's choice to be the United States attorney for the Western District of Washington in Seattle is a man named Neil Floyd. He probably looks familiar to viewers of this show because we've had Neil on the show. He's a former immigration judge. And then he was tapped by the Trump administration to lead the Department of Justice in Seattle. And we had him on to talk about, you know, priorities and immigration and drugs and all sorts of things. And so the problem was, though, that President Trump said, this is the guy I want. But then there's a process, obviously, that Neil would have had to go through, except Senator Patty Murray in our state utilized something called like a blue slip. And it's this stupid, I don't even know why this is a thing, but it allows home state United States senators to basically say, no, I don't want that person, and blue slip them. And she did the same thing to Pete Serrano, who was President Trump's choice in the Eastern District of Washington. And she also, you know, threatened to do it to Neil Floyd. And so Neil has been the de facto United States attorney under President Trump in Seattle. But he's been in this weird limbo. In fact, because he hasn't been confirmed by the Senate, his official title is the first assistant U.S. attorney, but he's the de facto United States attorney. So the issue is that there is a provision in the United States Code that allows for the federal judges in a jurisdiction to pick their own United States attorney if the Senate hasn't confirmed one. Okay? So that's what the federal judges have set about doing. They put out a call for applications. They got the applications in, and a couple weeks ago, about a week ago, they made their selection. They sent this letter. It was sent by Chief United States District Judge David Estadillo to Todd Blanche, the acting United States Attorney General, informing him of their selection. It said, Dear Mr. Blanche, I write to inform you that the District Court for the Western District of Washington will appoint Mr. Roger Rogoff on Wednesday, July 15th. That's today. Keep that in mind. To serve as the United States Attorney for the Western District of Washington until his replacement is confirmed. As you are aware, the court opened an application process earlier this year and appointed a merit selection panel to screen applicants. The court interviewed all candidates deemed qualified by the panel and selected Mr. Rogoff. And then it talks a little bit about his background, his qualifications for the job. And then it says, the court acknowledges the president's authority to appoint, with the advice and consent of the Senate, a United States attorney for this district, and takes this action pursuant to Section 546D to ensure the vacancy is filled until a United States attorney nominee is confirmed. So we'll get to more on Roger in a moment, but they mentioned their authority to do this. Because if it sounds weird to you, it kind of sounds weird to me too. Like the federal judges who are going to hear federal cases where the Department of Justice is going to be the attorney for the government in their courtrooms get to decide who the United States attorney is? It just seems weird to me, but they do have this authority under U.S. code, specifically 28 U.S. code 546, having to do with vacancies. It says, if an appointment expires under subsection C2, the district court for such district may appoint a United States attorney to serve until the vacancy is filled. The order of appointment by the court shall be filed with the clerk of the court. So they have the authority to be able to do this. What's odd, though, is President Trump and the Department of Justice and Todd Blanche have the ultimate authority just to tell the guy to kick rocks if they don't like him. The person they want is Neil Floyd. The only thing standing in the way of Neil Floyd being the United States attorney under Trump in the Western District of Washington is Democrats, is United States Senator Patty Murray, and this stupid blue slip policy that says, no, the president can't actually choose whoever he wants for these positions. We get to just veto it if we don't like it. So who is Roger Rogoff? And that's where this all gets just so deliciously dramatic. You know, I love a little drama in the morning. So Roger Rogoff is a Democrat darling. He was first appointed to the King County Superior Court by former Governor Jay Inslee way back in 2013. So he was one of Governor Inslee's first ever appointments when Inslee was elected governor. He went on to serve three terms, but this was at the very early stages of Governor Inslee's tenure. And so he appointed Roger Rogoff to the King County Superior Court in 2013. And then Inslee appointed him again to a different position in 2022. Inslee tapped him to head the Office of Independent Investigations. What is that? Well, that was the office that was stood up after the outcry over race and social justice and the whole defund the police movement to, quote unquote, independently investigate police uses of force. And it allowed this office to even go back in time and investigate uses of force that the police had undertaken that had already been sort of, you know, resolved. And so this guy got to that position. He later resigned from the position, but he's an ally of former Governor Jay Inslee. He's an ally of the Democratic Party. And now the federal judges in the Western District of Washington decided he was going to be the guy on an interim basis to be the United States attorney in Seattle because Democrats blocked the ability of President Trump to have his selection, Neil Floyd. This is where it gets really delicious. So I kind of knew some of this was building. And of course, on that letter, it said July 15th, 2026 is when he is going to start serving. Well, this is awkward because, of course, Neil Floyd, you know, he's the first assistant U.S. attorney. He's working in the office. He's doing his thing. And all of a sudden at 8 a.m. this morning, according to a source, this guy, Roger Rogoff, walks in to the United States Attorney's Office in Seattle, like, hey, I'm here to start my job. And from what we hear from our sources there, they basically told him, just wait a minute, you know, Neil Floyd's not in the office yet, so let us call and make sure what's going on there. Less than an hour after he showed up, Roger Rogoff, at the U.S. courthouse, federal courthouse in Seattle, he got contacted by the White House. Beep, beep. Telling him he was fired. So this guy, and he kind of knew this would happen because this same trick has been played by Democrats in other jurisdictions where Democrats said, no, we're not going to allow President Trump to have his choice for the top federal prosecutor in this blue jurisdiction. So we're going to block it. There's this obscure statute that allows the judges to pick it instead. So they do that. Their pick walks in and they get fired. Although this is the fastest, I'm told, that they've ever been fired. He didn't even unpack his boxes. Nothing happened. And so you might be like, okay, well, what happens now? Well, Neil Floyd is still going to be the Department of Justice choice to head the federal prosecutor's office in Seattle. So nothing really changes. It's just all of this drama to send the guy there, go through this long application process where the judges knew what would happen eventually, choose this Inslee ally, two-time Inslee appointee to come in there, show up at 8 in the morning and say, I'm here to do my job, and then get a call from the White House saying, yeah, you're unemployed again. And so, again, Neil Floyd will still continue to be the first assistant U.S. attorney, but he is the de facto top federal prosecutor in Seattle. Now, one other layer of this that we're waiting for is it sounded like the judges were trying to select someone who would file a lawsuit once this happened. And so I think what's going to happen is Roger Rogoff is going to file a lawsuit against the federal government to say, I was appointed via a process allowed by United States code, and then I was fired within like 40 minutes. And so I don't know where that lawsuit will go, but it's just fascinating to me. And look, you know, this is, things have become so politicized. And when you think of the job of the United States attorney, yeah, some of it is to pursue the priorities of whoever the president is and whoever you're serving at the pleasure of. And I get that. But also, I mean, this is the office that's handling sex trafficking cases. This is the office that's handling child exploitation cases. This is the office that's handling major drug investigations. And whenever you toss them into political drama like this, you're taking away from the very important work they have to do. But I think that's just so indicative of the political environment. And Senator Patty Murray, she doesn't care if, you know, threatening this blue slip is going to, you know, take up time and energy away from serious criminal investigations. It's all politics. They just hate Donald Trump that badly. And I was reading the Seattle Times this morning, and they write all this stuff about Roger Rogoff, and then they write about Neil Floyd, and they call him, wait for it, their favorite word about anyone, you know, left, controversial. If you're not far left, the Seattle Times calls you controversial. I dare you to find, please, by all means, scour the depths of the Seattle Times archives. I dare you to find a time they labeled a Democrat or even a socialist or a progressive controversial. Why is Neil Floyd controversial in the eyes of the Seattle Times and of Patty Murray? Because he served as an immigration judge. Newsflash, every president has had immigration judges. He served as an immigration judge during the Biden administration as well. There's overlap there between Trump and Biden, and that is a job that we need. It's not as if we can just say, oh, well, no immigration judges. Just because you want illegal aliens to be living here and be able to commit crimes and be shielded by our sanctuary policies, like, doesn't mean we don't need immigration judges. So how can you say just because he held that position, a position, there have been Democrat-appointed immigration judges, Republican-appointed immigration judges, but because, oh, he's Trump's pick, he's controversial, according to the Seattle Times. Well, Roger Rogoff, I hope you enjoyed your 40 minutes of employment this morning, but as Trump would say, you're fired. All right, coming up next, the initiative against Washington State's, or the effort to defeat the initiative challenging Washington State's income tax has begun, and as we expected, full of lies from top to bottom. First, 11,000 Washingtonians have taken the First Mark challenge with our friends at First Mark Insurance, and many of them have saved thousands of dollars a year, including me and my family. The First Mark challenge is really easy to do, and it's a no-brainer because First Mark isn't just working for one insurance company, right? Because if you're going with, I'm not going to name one, but an insurance company, and it's like, okay, well, they're just going to go over their insurance offerings. No, First Mark goes out for you. They shop their market of carriers. They come back with their recommendations. And for so many Undivided viewers and listeners, that means saving hundreds of dollars a month, if not thousands of dollars a year. For Mike and I, you know, initially we got better insurance for the same rate we've been paying previously. And then our renewal came up and they're like, great news, it's going to be $2,000 less than it was last year. And I was like, oh my gosh, why have we not done this all along? And one of my favorite things about First Mark is when you need them, you're going to talk to a real person who knows you and is there to help. And that's the kind of world-class service that has kept Mike and I with First Mark year after year. So don't give your insurance company a free raise before you renew. Let First Mark review. See that? Wow. Wow, I'm rhyming this morning. Before you renew, let First Mark review. Why not? You could save money. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. All right, let the lies begin. Let the lies begin. The effort to defeat the initiative against Washington State's new income tax is now in full swing. They know on I-645 campaign had its first press conference, and the headliner was Governor Bob Ferguson.
It's essentially a choice between moving our state forward by making life more affordable for Washingtonians and giving 138,000 business owners a tax break, or going backwards, rolling back tax breaks for small businesses and seeing costs go up for Washingtonians. It's a choice between investing in our kids' education, and it's great to see some kids here today, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
sure
a choice
be.
Between investing in our kids' education and childcare access and affordability, or going backwards with cuts to education and limiting access to childcare. In short, it's a choice between the future and the past.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a choice between the future and the past. And the future looks really grim if we continue to have policies like an income tax that targets wealth and targets job creators. I'm going to fact check some of the things he said there. I just want to point out, like, glad to see some children here. They didn't have a choice, Bob. They didn't have a choice, okay? I love that you use kids as political props for an agenda that they know nothing about and can't fully understand. But of course, Bob pulled out what will be their key talking point against the initiative. And that will be, oh, rich people bad.
Hedge manager Brian Haywood is, of course, behind this initiative. It is not his first rodeo. Three prior attempts he has made to roll back progress in Washington State. He's 0 for 3. He has struck out. He's back at the plate again, which is absolutely his right. But it is clear that while Brian Haywood has a vision for this state, it just happens to be a vision that the people of Washington repeatedly reject overwhelmingly.
Okay, the guy lies with ease. First of all, he hasn't struck out every time. Thanks to Brian Haywood, we now have the police now have the ability to pursue dangerous criminals, something Democrats took away from them, and crime skyrocketed. And so thanks to Brian Haywood and Let's Go Washington. And what is his motivation there? Oh, rich, scary guy. What is his motivation to, I don't know, want to save people's lives? So thanks to him, that initiative passed. They also passed the initiative to restore parental rights. That was a victory. And then what did your party do? You went to Olympia and you unwound it. And so he had to do it again. And now he has to do it again this time because you guys can't listen to voters. So you can call that struck out, but I call it you guys overturning the will of voters and just spitting on democracy. So just outrageous. And as another example, Brian Haywood and Let's Go Washington protected natural gas through an initiative that was passed by voters. And what did you do? Former Governor Jay Inslee immediately sued over it, and it's still caught up in the courts. So it's like, oh, we respect voters when they don't pass something we're against, but when they do pass something that we're against, we seek to overturn it. Just absolutely outrageous. So then this campaign, again, no on I-645, they found like the only millionaire dumb enough to glob onto this. This guy is a real doozy. We've talked about him before. And I don't know how you can be wealthy and make so little sense. Like, how did you get that far in life? Here's what he said.
I think it's important to remember that even for us tech workers, making $1 million in regular income in a single year is often a pretty rarefied event, right? But lots of us tech workers want to buy houses much earlier in our career than we ever make that much money. And today in Seattle, your housing dollar goes literally twice as far as it goes in San Francisco. So if you want to think about this talking point about $3 million houses are selling because rich people are leaving. Now, if somebody buys them, that means another rich person's moving in. But let's go with the nightmare scenario. Like the price drops. So now in Seattle, you can get what would cost you $6 million in San Francisco for $2 million. You want to talk about tech recruiting? Buckle up.
Where did they find? So wait a second. You're celebrating homes being put up for sale in mass and nobody coming in to buy them? I just was reading a post from a friend whose neighbor's home, more expensive home on the more expensive end. They haven't been able to sell it for almost a year now. And you're celebrating the possibility that home prices could absolutely be decimated. Like, I'm okay if home prices even out a little bit because they did get out of control there for a little while. But you're celebrating the prospect that Seattle could have a Detroit-esque moment where so many people leave that values tank and people can pick up a mansion for half price. Like, that is not the mind of someone who knows anything about the economy, but that's the guy they're going to keep using because he goes out there and he spins this tale about, oh my gosh, I'm this generous millionaire and I want to pay more in taxes. In fact, one of the very first video campaign ads that this no campaign put out is from him.
What's in the millionaire's tax for me? Fairness. When I made over $1 million last year, I paid up to 4 times less than other people pay in state taxes. The new millionaire's tax means people like me will pay our fair share for education and healthcare.
First of all, can someone take a lint roller to his shirt? So anyone, can you take a lint roller to his shirt before you put him in a campaign ad? But that aside, Brian, no one's stopping you, buddy. If you're like, I want to pay more, write a check to the general fund. You literally can. It's not a big deal. You can donate to all sorts of things. But one of the points that I've made about this guy before is he had a wealth event, okay? So he helped to build a company, sold it, had a wealth event, had to pay federal taxes, but didn't have to pay any state income tax. At his age and where he's at in his career, he's not making, and I challenged him on this, and on social media, we had a back and forth, he's not making over $1 million a year anymore. This guy will never have to pay the income tax on millionaires. He never will. And even he can't deny that. He already had his wealth event. So now he gets to look like high and mighty and he's just better than everyone else, but he still will never have to pay it. And you think he's going to, oh, well, I might not have to pay it, but I'm going to write a check to the general fund anyway. No, of course not. It's straight up virtue signaling. And the people, the inventors and the investors and the AI and the tech who are in the process of building companies, who want to have that wealth event and that big payday, they're not going to live here. They're not going to come here. We're already seeing that. The data already shows that. Seattle and Washington State are tanking as a tech and AI destination. So I want to go over some of the talking points that this campaign will push. And I get it. I hate how the initiatives work because, you know, I'm opposed to the income tax, but I'm going to have to vote yes in November. So that's so important for everyone to start telling their friends and family now. It's yes to repeal the income tax. Vote yes to repeal the income tax. Okay? So Invest in Washington Now is one of the PACs that's pushing against the initiative. So they want the income tax. Here's their website. Shall I count the lies? Don't give mega millionaires a tax cut. Don't cut education and healthcare. Pledge to vote no on Initiative 645. First of all, don't give mega millionaires a tax cut. The tax hasn't even gone into effect yet. So it's not giving them a tax cut. It's just going back to how things were before you passed the new income tax. Don't cut education and healthcare. Again, this thing doesn't take effect for years. And so they're not cutting anything. They're just saying, we don't want this. Spend your money more wisely. It says, Initiative 645 only helps mega millionaires. It cuts taxes only for those with earnings over $1 million. It doesn't help 99% of Washingtonians because only 22,000, less than 1% of the wealthiest Washingtonians make enough to be subject to the millionaire's tax. But again, it's just obtuse because people who are going to be subject to the millionaire's tax are going to take their money and their businesses elsewhere. And that does hurt every single Washingtonian. And then it says Initiative 645 will hurt 99.5% of Washingtonians by effectively raising B&O taxes on small businesses, lie, cutting billions from education, healthcare, childcare, and other essential services, lie, because none of this money has been spent yet. None of this money has been collected yet. Putting more tax pressure on regular Washingtonians to make up the difference, lie. No, you guys just can't budget. Our budget has ballooned exponentially above the rate of inflation, above the rate of population growth. They just can't stop spending money on things. That's what's putting pressure on regular Washingtonians. And then it goes to all these other things. Taking away the newly added free school meals for Washington students. Cutting the working families tax credit. Lie and lie. Don't believe me? Even the Seattle Times says that's a lie. So in 645, well, it repeals most of that income tax bill, right? It leaves the sections in place on those things. It leaves in the expansion of the working families tax credit. It leaves in the elimination of a sales tax on diapers and sections reducing the business and occupation tax on healthcare providers and wholesale food sales and various other tax reforms. So it says, no, we can keep all these like little benefits that you're putting into the bill to try to sell it, but you have to pay for it with something else. So it's just lie, 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 lie. And they just hope that people believe it blindly. There is something giving me a little bit of hope, though. I was reading this Facebook post from the No on I-645 campaign. It said, this November, vote no to $13 billion in cuts to education and healthcare, and no to tax increases on small business and working families. I mean, how dishonest is that? That is some of the most, they have no moral compass. They lie with ease. But one thing that gave me hope, I looked at the comments and I was just dreading it was going to be people like, yay, tax the rich. Like, not at all. Every comment I saw, and there were hundreds, was like, you guys are liars. And it just gave me so much joy. Matt, I love the argument that basically breaks down to, we already spent money we don't have yet. Thomas, the education system should already be fully funded. Sparky, yes on I-645. Kathy, how can it blow a hole in funding when it hasn't even started to generate an income, income yet? David, looking forward to voting a strong yes. Diane, I'm voting yes. Cody, vote yes. Gary, I'll be voting yes. Pat, voting yes. So hopefully it's backfiring and people are getting wise to this just lie that's told continuously about, you know, they pass a tax and then they spin it as the worst thing in the world if they can't have this tax. The worst thing, babies will die. I don't know how, but dogs will die too. Puppies will die. And they go through all of these hurdles to try to frame it that way to voters. And I'm hoping that voters can see past this whole, oh, tax the rich and save children and education and babies and all of these things. And there's a poll that suggests that might be the case. There's some new polling out. It was conducted by Signal between May 13th and 15th on likely general election voters in Washington, 800 respondents. The margin of error is 3.5%, so keep that in mind. But what the poll found is an income tax is still deeply unpopular in Washington state across the political spectrum. The question, do you support or oppose implementing a state income tax in Washington? Strong support, 12.6%. 12.6%. Strong opposition, 59.6%. There isn't 59.6% of voters Republican in this state. So there's some Democrats, a lot of Democrats in there too. So overall opposition, 67.2%. Overall support, 21.4%. And this is in keeping with 100 years of precedent where voters keep saying no, 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 no to an income tax. And Democrats keep saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, 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 yes. And putting lipstick on a pig and repackaging it, hoping that one day they can sell it to voters in some different form or fashion. And now it's the millionaire's tax. It's just an income tax. It's just an income tax. Another question. Generally speaking, would you say things in Washington state are headed in the right direction or off on the wrong track? 37% say right direction. 54% say wrong track. So a majority of respondents to this poll say Washington state is on the wrong track. Again, this is a blue state, and even the blue voters think we're on the wrong track. And just for fun, let's see what this poll found about Governor Bob Ferguson's approval rating. It says, please indicate if you've heard of this person, and if so, whether you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of them. Bob Ferguson, 39% favorable, 49.5% unfavorable, 10 points underwater for poor Bobby Ferguson. It's not going well for him. He's really, his approval ratings across the board, no matter what poll you look at, are bad, bad, bad. And then I looked at the Seattle Times reporting on this issue is obviously very biased, but I had to laugh and just point out the picture they chose for their headline on this. Ferguson campaigns against initiative to repeal Washington millionaire's tax. Look at him. I mean, I wouldn't stop to buy an ice cream cone from that guy, let alone give him the keys to the state. And I kept looking at it. I'm like, you know who he reminds me of? The Grinch. I posted on social media earlier. This is the last thing you see before your state loses its AAA bond rating because you have a governor who would rather buy boob jobs for transgender prison inmates than cut spending. The governor who stole Christmas and stole the state's future away and ruined our economy with his greed and selfishness. And voters agree with me, according to this latest poll. So my only issue with this poll, I will say, with the Signal poll, is I wish it had polled the actual verbiage that's going to be on the ballot. Because again, they made this into a millionaire's tax because they succeeded in keeping the capital gains tax because they just said, this is a tax on the wealthy. You'll never have to pay it. It's no big deal. And that worked for them. And so I want to see a robust poll that asks Washington voters how they're going to vote on the exact verbiage of what's going to be on the ballot. Because you also have to factor in the confusion thing. Again, I mean, you've heard me struggle to explain it as well, and it's literally my job. Because if you oppose the income tax, you have to vote yes. That has to be drilled into people's heads from now until November. Yes, yes, yes. Yes to repeal the income tax. Yes to protect girls' sports. Yes to restore parental rights. Because I think the last time around when Let's Go Washington had a bunch of initiatives, I think people were thoroughly confused. That's the only reason that you could have a red county that voted for Donald Trump also vote to keep Governor Jay Inslee's Climate Commitment Act. Confusion is the only thing that accounts for that. And so it is going to be important for every single one of us to just continually tell our friends and family, it's yes to repeal the income tax. It's yes to protect girls' sports. It's yes to restore parental rights, because they're going to try to confuse the waters in all sorts of ways. So I, if we see a poll that has polling on the actual verbiage on the ballot, we'll bring that to you. All right, coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable. You know what? Should we just get right to it? Let's do it. Well, this is fun. This is fun. And I've been waiting for this issue to come to a head. Because you've got all of these, a lot of them Muslim themselves, you know, far left candidates for public office, who, you know, are supported by progressives, are supported by socialists. Yet, Muslims tend to frown upon gay marriage, right? But whenever it's talked about evil opposition for the LGBTQ plus community, they only focus on like white Christians. And they never bring up the fact that Muslims are also opposed, by and large, to gay marriage, to transgender ideology. In a lot of Muslim countries, you'd be like thrown off a building, right? So that is now coming up in a congressional race. This is from The Stranger. The Washington Stonewall Democrats want organizations to revisit their endorsements for congressional candidate Melissa Chaudhry. So Melissa Chaudhry is running for the 9th Congressional District, which is a seat currently held by Adam Smith. So it's like her, Adam Smith, and Shama Sawant in the race right now. So she, and she admits to this, she purposely omitted pro-LGBTQ stances from her campaign website. Okay? So let's, this is a during an interview with a stranger, okay? So it's this woman sitting next to Shama Sawant in this endorsement interview, Melissa Chaudhry and Shama Sawant. It says, quote, and this is from what Melissa Chaudhry says, "I don't want you to publish this," Melissa Chaudhry, a candidate for U.S. Congressional District 9, said during an explicitly on-the-record interview in the stranger's conference room. Quote, "But if elected, my personal plan and commitment is to be the first Green Party member of Congress that would switch parties while I'm in office." So this didn't start well before we get to the LGBTQ stuff, because she clearly doesn't understand what an on-the-record interview is. And she's in there telling them, don't publish this, but as soon as I'm in, I'm going to switch parties. Like, I'm just using the Democratic Party to essentially get a foot in the door, and then I'm going to switch to the Green Party. And then a stranger editorial board member said, this is on the record, by the way. This whole meeting, this whole process is on the record. So if there's something, if you don't want it said, don't say it in the meeting. So they tell her that, right? So then they get into the LGBTQ issue. They asked her why her support for LGBTQ issues wasn't listed on her campaign website. When asked which LGBTQ rights she supported, her laundry list included justice, healthcare, and protections in housing and employment. A stranger editorial board member asked, then why is that not on your website? Here's what she said, honest to God. I love it. I love the honesty. Because a lot of Muslims do not feel that way, unfortunately. And then the stranger says, according to a 2025 report from Pew Research Center, 41% of U.S. Muslims believe homosexuality should be accepted by society. The only religious group included in the survey with a lower acceptance rate were evangelical Christians. Only 36% of them are cool with homosexuality. So, I mean, in a way, I love this because the stranger, it got the stranger to print that Muslims, by and large, don't support homosexuality and don't support same-sex marriage. Because the far left ignores that all the time. And here you have this uber left congressional candidate who's like, yeah, I didn't talk about the LGBTQ stuff on my website because Muslims wouldn't like it very much. And I've got this hijab on. I think she's married to a Muslim. And so she's like, I don't want to offend them. And she says it in an on the record meeting, which is just absolutely glorious. So the comment immediately backfired. And then she started to backpedal. It says, Chaudhry left a really, really long comment. So there was a member of the Seattle LGBTQ Commission who, like, was blasting her for this. And so Chaudhry went on that post blasting her and said, "Friends, you deserve an explanation. My interview with the stranger alongside Shama Sawant was one of the least proud moments of my life." Chaudhry made the case that it wasn't what it looked like. She says she was a founding member of the Great Gay Straight Alliance in high school. Her sister is, quote, in a homosexual relationship, happily and committedly so, and she would protect her life, liberty, and freedom to love her wife. How she is friends with a, quote, disabled lesbian woman, her partner, and their autistic son. So she's on there giving the, like, she's giving the, I have black friends argument. I got, I'm not racist, I got black friends. She's like, oh no, I know a disabled lesbian woman. My sister's gay. It says, quote, in the midst of all of that, as she laid the groundwork against me, I was, of course, fielding questions from reporters who were hearing these attacks in real time and getting influenced by these. Being a genuinely kind and warm person, I was trying to be nice to a bulldog who kept on tearing at my flesh, referring to Shama Sawant. I decided not to respond, said the LGBTQ commission guy. She's throwing blame on other people and saying she has LGBTQ friends. That's the same thing. Oh, he says it here too. That's the same thing as a racist saying, I have black friends. So yeah, she basically said, I'm not going to make my support for LGBTQ people known publicly because it'll offend Muslims, which she's not lying. It's just the left won't talk about that. It's only the Christians they care about. And then when it backfired, she's like, I'm so sorry. I have gay friends. I love it. It's just absolutely glorious. All right, let's get to a double edition of double dose. Double edition. Where'd that come from? Fine. Double dose of unbelievable. Oh, got a little like what I wouldn't call it a Jussie Smollett moment, but people have lost their ever loving minds. God forbid you tie a knot in a rope these days. God forbid you tie any sort of knot in a rope, okay? So, are you familiar with the Bellingham Fisherman's Memorial? So, this is a memorial for people lost at sea up in Bellingham. And Nicole, do you want to explain who this picture is of? Because you have a personal connection to the memorial up there.
Yeah, when I was in fifth grade, my best friend, her dad was lost in the Bering Sea, and he was Captain David Parks there.
Wow, that's 1992.
His picture. That's his boat in 92. Yeah.
And so he's
on the memorial.
Yeah, he's on the memorial. So, but if you take a close look at that photo in the memorial, and Nicole, also because you're pretty versed on these things, you look mm-hmm. at that statue, and you also lived up near Bellingham, right. So you're familiar with it. So it's got this guy up there, and he's got a rope with a loop at the end, and this is him doing what?
So that's a mooring line.
Mooring line.
So, I mean, he's holding it, but you'd throw it to the dock and then they hook it onto the dock. And then here's a picture of multiple mooring lines.
Gotcha.
So you've seen those.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They have a loop and you
it's like, you know,
it.
You're trying to come in. You don't want to hit the dock. Your friend jumps out. You toss them this and then
yes.
they loop it up, right? Okay, mooring line. Well, not according to Kara M. Munoz, who was so offended when she saw the mooring line, because she thought it was a noose. So this is from PNW Daily. Woman arrested after incident at Bellingham Fisherman's Memorial. Whatcom County Jail records identify the woman as Kara M. Munoz. Officers booked her on allegations of second-degree malicious mischief, third-degree assault, and resisting a lawful arrest. So apparently, she gets there. She thinks that this is a noose. It says she confronted crews who were cleaning graffiti from the memorial, and she claimed that the rope represents a hate symbol. Witnesses said when cops were called because she was losing her mind, she spit on cops. So they put one of those spit hoods on her, which I think are hilarious. You can still spit into it, but the spit just comes back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they don't know if she participated in the original vandalism. I'm going to say probably, because
mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine there's that many crazy people who think it's a noose and you've got people vandalizing it and showing up to oppose the removal of the vandalism. And I can't really tell. I know her last name is Munoz. She looks white to me.
She looks pretty white.
She looks like one of those crazy white ladies who literally have nothing better to do with their time.
Yeah, then yeah. spend it in jail, apparently.
Yeah, so I they're going to continue to investigate the original vandalism, but she's already in trouble. Second-degree malicious mischief, third-degree assault, resisting a lawful arrest, got spit-hooded, all because she thought that the Fisherman's Memorial depicted a man throwing a noose.
She spent the night in jail. She wasn't released till yesterday after being arrested on Monday. So good.
Good.
Think about that.
But again, maybe, you know, we can't, we just can't, you can't tie knots in ropes anymore, people.
It's a memorial.
God forbid it's a loop.
They died.
Yeah, she doesn't understand, Nicole. She does not understand. People, that's why it's unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some national news. First, there is, we were just talking about it, a lot of homes going up for sale, but there's not as many people coming into the state to buy them. So you might be like, I want to leave, but will my home ever sell? What's going on? That's why you need an expert in your corner who's been through market ups and downs, who's been through times like this and can help you through the process. That's Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. And he tells us, you know, you can still get the same results. You can still sell your home for what you want to sell it for, but we might just need a different approach. And so that can mean their listing boost concierge service coming in, really taking a close look at your home, what the market is doing in your area, and identifying cosmetic upgrades, staging, things that can help get more feet in the door, more offers on the table. Because with all these listings, your home has to stand out. And you, I'll tell you, when you go to his website and go to the sold section, you can see who's sold with Wes. Look at his listings and how they're marketed, how they're put together. And compare those to other listings you see on the market. There's a reason why Wes and his team do so well. It's because their listings are second to none. Their preparation of a home are second to none. And that's what you need in a market like this. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, Congressman Adam Smith. So we just talked about his race. He's got two cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs people running against him. And I've said, I don't think they have a chance of winning, although who knows? Things are so wild right now. So I tend to think that maybe he's worried because he's been doing some annoying stuff. You know, Adam Smith, for instance, who's like one of the more reasonable Democrats. He's come on this show. I would call him a friend of the show. You know, he came out opposed to protecting girls' sports, and I was shocked by that. Absolutely gobsmacked by that. But I think it's because, you know, these reasonable Democrats get these challenges from the left, and they just think they have to out-crazy the far left because that's about as crazy as you can get. Frankly, there is no policy position held by anyone on the right that's more insane than saying girls should be forced to compete against boys. And like boys are girls and they can become girls. That is one of the craziest, kookiest policy positions that you can take. And Adam Smith is taking it. And so he's also, of course, trying to amp up his, you know, anti-Trump rhetoric, because that's just what works with voters on the left. It's always going to work. So here he is, I don't know, taking a morning stroll.
I feel like that's his new thing because all of his videos lately have been him walking in the
morning. He's getting his steps in, you know, he's getting his steps in and talking about how it's time to impeach Trump yet again.
It is time for Donald Trump to be removed from office. I don't say that lightly, but Republicans, either in Congress, in the cabinet, something has to be done. He's going to take over the Strait of Hormuz and start charging people to use waterways. Bedrock principle is the waterways are free. That's the whole point. We've got ICE agents murdering our people all across the country. Trump is doing nothing. He is jeopardizing citizens' lives. He is jeopardizing global stability. I don't love impeachment as a strategy. I voted to impeach Trump twice. Neither time did it work out particularly well. But we have to make the case that Donald Trump has completely lost it. Not only is he pushing an authoritarian takeover of our country, but we have to question his sanity if he is launching us on a path to try and take over the Strait of Hormuz and charge tolls. Republicans, speak up. Stop this madness. Someone needs to protect our country, and we can't do that until Donald Trump is out as president.
Dude, he'll be out in 2 years. I mean, just, I love how he says, I don't like impeachment as a strategy. But then he's like, but let's do it again. It's like, it didn't work out the first two times. However, let's do it again. Adam, just let him, just two plus years and he'll be out of office. And what Democrats should be focused on, which they never will, is finding a good candidate to run against whoever, you know, the next Republican is going to be in 2028 and moderating your party platform, not acting like this, giving in to the worst impulses of your base, giving in to the socialists and the communists. Like, that is the kind of stuff that led voters to elect Donald Trump in 2024, but they never learned their lesson. They're so stuck on this orange man bad. And rather than fix our own party, figure out, ask ourselves, why did we lose? Why do we keep losing? We think Trump's so bad, but people chose him. They won't do that. Zero introspection. And one of the most sane Democrats in Congress is now throwing his lot in with the boys can become girls crowd and with the let's spend time impeaching Donald Trump yet again crowd. It's really sad to see, frankly. And of course, Adam Smith can come on anytime he wants and talk about these things and we can discuss. All right, this is horrifying. So a lot of the states and cities that leaned into the police defunding movement, they're dramatically understaffed. We talk all the time about how Washington State has the lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation. And there's a lot of reasons for that, especially shocking considering how much officers make here. You have some Seattle police officers who are making almost $300,000 a year because of the overtime required to staff properly because they're like 700 officers short. I mean, State Patrol, they've got troopers making 200 grand a year. Port of Seattle, it's very competitive because you've got people, you know, they're trying to get all these lateral bonuses and they have all these vacancies. And so they have to pay all these officers a lot, but we still have the lowest number of officers of any state in the nation per capita. And, you know, when police defunding happened and just the talk of police defunding scared a lot of officers away to other places. And Portland went through a very similar thing. Now, Portland is seeing, this is according to Fox 12 Oregon, the police department there is saying, look, we are dramatically understaffed. And they are now saying that their average response time for 911 calls is 40 minutes. Here's a report.
We don't have the appropriate amount of police officers to handle the amount of demand for police services.
This statement from Portland police has been made evident the past several days. On Saturday, it took officers an estimated 30 to 40 minutes to respond to a dozen 911 calls reporting a naked man harassing people in Waterfront Park. This escalated to an alleged attempt to grab a 7-year-old girl out of her parents' arms. The Bureau says its officers were tied up with a barricaded suspect a mile away.
They're resource intensive. And so when you have a draw like that, it really puts a drain on the entire city, not just that precinct.
But this wasn't an isolated incident. Earlier this month, a group of women held back an alleged attacker for 40 minutes until help arrived. Wow. And on Monday morning, a Fox 12 crew was threatened with a knife at the waterfront. It took police 10 minutes to intervene.
There's no, unless it's an on-call group of officers like the SWAT team or the traffic team, there's no additional officers that I can just bring in at a moment's notice.
Deputy Chief Brian Hughes says PPP was operating at a 24% staffing reduction, with 41 officers stationed across the city and 10 pulling overtime. I asked, what can be done to ensure community safety with the Bureau's current staffing levels and budget? Police say it comes down to, quote, city values.
Those are some very heroic things that have been done across our city. I can tell you that I would prefer that we have a police department that is able to respond in a timely fashion and handle those things appropriately.
And at the same time, this is a state that tries to chip away at Second Amendment rights. Imagine that as a mob, you're down at the waterfront, you've got your 7-year-old and a naked homeless man is trying to snatch your 7-year-old from you. And you have to wait 20 to 40 minutes for police to get there. And this is a city that doesn't want citizens to be armed. Again, this has to all be intentional to make you dependent on government to literally live. And, you know, ultimately to say, oh, the public safety situation is so dire that we need more money from you. We need more money from you to fix it. And this is also the place where elected leaders, the mayor and the governor of Oregon, Tina Kotek, when Trump was saying that Oregon is a hellhole and they needed the feds involved, they said, no, Oregon is safe and clean. Portland's safe and clean. This was just like a year ago. They did a march in the streets against the Trump administration and his evil forces on the streets there. Safe and clean. Remember, we did a whole report where they cropped in really close on the governor. And so they didn't have to show the tents and the homeless and all of this stuff. And you fast forward to this, 40 minutes to get to a life or death emergency. 40 minutes. What are you paying taxes for? Taxes, fundamentally, public safety is one of those issues that if I'm paying taxes, public safety better be on point. And instead, I could have someone pull a knife on me. And if I don't have a gun, I'm dead. Frankly, if I don't have a gun and that person wants to stab me, I'm dead. So they make it unsafe. They disarm lawful citizens, all to make you more dependent on government and all to get more money from you. It's just outrageous. 40 minutes. Seattle's not even that bad. There might be some lower level calls that they're not coming out for a couple hours, but these are life and death emergencies. 40 minutes is unacceptable, obviously. All right, let's get to some comments from the live stream before we get to our subscriber show poll today. Nicole, hello.
Hello.
I think, you know, yeah. You want to turn that mic on, yeah, girl?
Well, I got lots of buttons.
That's true.
How's that ginger ale?
Delicious.
Good.
Tasty. All right, comments from the live stream on the drama at the DOJ in Seattle. James Bambury says, so she did the same thing to two U.S. attorneys. Sounds like a pattern to me. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to blue slip. I think they need to get rid of the blue slip process because it stops the administration of justice. And ultimately, it's just whiny babies. You shouldn't have one senator have the power to say no to a president's choice for United States attorney.
Luckily, this was built in. It's ridiculous where the president has to fire somebody the day he gets in there and whatever. But at least there is that process built in.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I guess, workaround.
All right.
From Sunny Days, PNW, are they going to throw the governor to the wolves to save several upcoming elections? The Dems have been eating each other lately.
Oh, I think that's on the polling question on Bob Ferguson. Maybe they will throw him to the wolves. Let's see. Matthew Cook on the calling Neil Floyd controversial. Controversial, a.k.a. follows the Constitution. Yes. Controversial means common sense. Oh, Brandy's right wing, controversial podcaster, because I don't believe dudes are chicks. Give me a break.
Whiny liberals complain about them. That's what that means.
I know. On the income tax lies beginning.
Necro Two Shoes says Facebook is already overflowing with bot posts about repealing the initiative. All that tax money going to bot farms against the public.
Yeah, we pointed out on the show Ori Hoffman had found this guy on Nextdoor who was posting about how great it is to tax millionaires, and Ori searched his picture and it was a stock image. So it's like, and then they took it down. I think his account got taken down because he was like a bot.
Oh, good.
RM Colm, dog whistles for overeducated progressives are insulated from most things. Yeah.
I have a country guy, and I think a lot of people. I can't wait to see the description that the state puts on the ballot.
Yeah, I should have put it on the show today, but that's the issue. And that's why they put in things like, this will pay for school lunches. This will pay for tax cuts for B&O. This will help with the working families tax credit so they can put on the ballot, repealing this will hurt children, families, and businesses.
When in reality, the lunches and breakfasts and stuff are already mostly paid for, but they leave like a couple dollars aside, they put that away just so they can put it towards it, so they can say that's
exactly what it funds. 75%, even OSPI confirmed this to us, 75% of children in public schools are already receiving a free or reduced lunch.
And the rest pretty much could they just have to apply for it. The schools have to do the work for it.
But they just haven't, because parents are paying it, because of course, at least 25% of families can afford to do it.
And don't want to take funds that they don't need to take.
Right. But also, I'll say it a million times, we spend $20,000 per pupil per year. You can pay for their lunch with that. Yeah. We can pay for their lunch with that. Mm-hmm. On the congressional candidate hiding her pride support, David Prince, Egypt and Turkey refused docking for an LGBTQ cruise ship to apparent surprise at the lack of inclusion. So the people I saw this, it was like a gay cruise and Turkey said, you can't dock here, which is horrible. But the people on board were like, oh my gosh. It's like, yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you.
That is the world.
Yes.
The world is, it's not so bad here.
Yeah.
From Andy Stevens, man, props to the stranger.
Yeah, I'm glad
However, I mean, they had a candidate they like, and so they'll do anything to take the others down.
Well, yeah, but also the fact that they put in there the fact that, Muslims, a majority of Muslims don't support gay marriage, because that is something the left just will not utter.
Right.
They will not talk about it.
Not too many props.
Yeah, not too many props. I mean, they're still absolute garbage trash. Mm-hmm. The woman arrested after the Fisherman's Memorial situation. I am Sith... says, why is it always a white liberal woman? It's a disease.
I hate
to
say it, but, are they not doing much? Are they not getting educated on simple things? I mean, we met some people the other day that I just feel like didn't know a lot of things.
I feel like if we had a really educated voter base, and I don't mean traditional education, I mean hungry for knowledge, hungry for information, willing to learn. I feel
and
like things would be a lot
from
different.
Other people that do other things yeah. that they're not involved with. Like
right.
those fishermen are some of the hardest working people you would ever right. meet. And she, I mean, that it's just so stupid
yeah.
because, I mean, how else are you supposed to tie something up? You have to make a circle
a loop.
At the end of the rope right. and tie it. It's so stupid.
Well, a normal person would be like, gosh, I mean, that looks
that
a lot like a noose. Right. Oh, no, careful. Oh. She's going to start lighting people's shoes on
right.
fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, a normal person would say that looks, well, a normal person wouldn't, but a reasonable would say that looks like a noose. Like, what is that? And they'd get on their phone and be like, what is this?
What do
this?
You use that for?
And it would
for?
Say, it's a mooring mm-hmm. line. You hook it to the dock, right?
Right.
Let's see. On Adam Smith calling for Trump's impeachment again, looking up for Jesus says he has to toe the line, Brandy, or he'll be primaried. He's already being primaried. He's already being primaried, and he's going to continue to be primaried every single time. So he can either be true to his values and not be an insane person. It's like that's never going to stop him from getting primaried.
I know. I actually think, you know, 6 months ago, it was a no-brainer. Like, he was going to run away with it. And now I'm like, well, if you keep doing this, you're just taking people off, and then they don't want to vote for anybody.
Right, because then, you know, if Shama Sawant gets close to him, which I still don't think will happen, but if she does, he's going to need Republicans in that district to vote for him. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but also, like, you're really turning him off by supporting boys and girls sports. You're really turning mm-hmm. him off by obsessing over impeaching Donald
right.
Trump when he's got 2 years left.
They're not going to vote at
yeah,
all.
And so, yeah, I mean, he's just, he's never going to out-socialist the socialists.
No.
So he should just be himself. All right, you want to do this last one?
Oh, you know what? I don't see it.
Okay. Adam Smith's district is a crime-ridden dumpster fire from SP South.
Oh, yeah.
Crime-ridden dumpster fire. Not as bad as Seattle, but, you know, I
Everybody's
will say
got
there's
their
some things. Everybody's got their blocks, yes.
But yes.
All
they
right.
all need to be addressed.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up momentarily. Oh, first,
are you doing the poll, too?
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. And I'm asking you this because we're heading toward the primary election. And I wanted to see how closely so far you guys have been following the Washington State Supreme Court races. So there are five seats that are going to be on the primary ballot. No matter where you are in the state of Washington, you will vote on every single one of them. And this is absolutely critical to try to save our state and have a Supreme Court that decides things based on the law and not based on their inside feelies, their touchies and feelies.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked subscribers, how closely are you following these races? Nicole, very somewhat or not at all?
Well, I got to say vary because that's the job here is to
yes,
help other
true.
People but so far there's only a couple that I'm really aware of, and so for sure as it gets closer we're gonna have to make our
yes
voices
and we will
heard.
I tend not to, and you can disagree with this logic, I tend not to cover races until after the primary
mm-hmm.
Unless there's something just really like critical, because in most of these there's like two people and so they're both going to advance, or you know, two people who are actually legitimate. So we'll see. I mean, maybe we will cover them somewhat before the primary, but we'll have actual candidates on. That's what I mean, post-primary. So you guys are very split. 33% say very, 38% say somewhat closely, and 29% say not at all. Sunny Days PNW, pretty pleased cover judicial races. It's so difficult to research justices and their records in this state. I remember last year you had a guest on that mentioned creating some sort of tracking tool. I'm very interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky Berg, and what is the website for the tracking tool for?
Not League of Their.
No, gosh,
not,
what am I thinking about? Okay, will you look that up while
yes.
I do this? I'm sorry. I'm Hold just, on. It's totally escaping me.
Full
Court Press. Yeah. So if mm-hmm. you go to Full Court Press, they'll have information in there on the judicial races. Thank you, Nicole. Casey and Seebeck, this is a huge race for common sense and democracy in our state. Deanna says, I haven't, but I need to. Please help educate us. Okay. We can do something on this maybe tomorrow or next week or something. Nancy, very. They are our only hope to rein in this government. Tia said, my father was on the state Supreme Court, so it's in my blood. Oh, cool. Extremely important branch that no one follows, and it's a shame. The bench has changed so much due to years of one-party rule. There'll be a lot of money spent on state Supreme Court races this year, though, because of that reality that the income tax is going to eventually wind up there, and five seats. This is unprecedented. So you're basically electing what the majority could be on the state Supreme Court. It could change our state for generations to come. So, yeah, so we will do some coverage of that for sure coming up. All right, we'll get to our sanity check next. First, our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital is having one of his Know Your Risk live webinars coming up July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can have your questions answered. You know, if you have concerns about your retirement portfolio, some of its exposures, headlines you're seeing around tech, headlines you're seeing around what's happening in the Middle East, Zach Abraham and his team can give you sort of their thoughts on that. So it's an opportunity to listen, but also to ask questions. And this is going to be his Market Blind Spot webinar. So are the market's blind spots putting your retirement portfolio at risk? You have investors and advisors focused on AI inflation. There's conflicting headlines over the extent to which what's happening in the Middle East could impact your retirement. So this is really about getting a second opinion and sort of saying, okay, is my portfolio being properly managed in a way that addresses all of these things? So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com to sign up. It's going to be live. It's totally free. Knowyourriskpodcast.com, and it'll just pop up in the middle of your screen and you can register for it there. While you're there, subscribe to Zach's daily podcast and figure out how to follow him on YouTube, X, etc. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. You know, sometimes I think we're making progress in sort of the fight for sanity, and people are starting to admit, like, yeah, some of our positions on, you know, gender and biology were a little outrageous, and now I'm backtracking on them. Well, not if you're the chancellor of UC San Francisco, Dr. Sam Hawgood, who testified under oath to this.
The vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women. I use it myself.
Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
A transgender person?
That's not a biological woman. Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
I would reiterate,
we take ridiculous. Care.
The vast majority of pregnancies are in women. No, sir. 100% of pregnancies are among women. Outrageous. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you. We truly do. A little bit more appreciation for our paid subscribers who help make this show possible. If you'd like to sign up and support the show for $5 a month, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on a banner that says support the show. See you tomorrow.